So good morning, everyone. Come on. Good morning, everyone. Much better. Listen, if I have to do this, you guys can at least say good morning. So this is what happens when your pastor is your friend and you know they're having surgery. You send them a text and you say, hey, friend, how can I help you? How can I help your family? I know maybe you need something done at Play Cafe. Maybe you need something purchased. Maybe you even need announcements done. I did volunteer to do announcements. Well, then your friend, the pastor, replies back. He said, hey, we're doing this series on fathers of faith. Will you do a little character study about Moses? Now, he tells me who else is doing it, and I'm thinking, okay, fathers of faith, these are all women, fathers of faith. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to infer from that, but I said, okay, I don't know how I feel about that, but I agree. But then Dave says to me, hey, could you do the whole, like, message chatting portion? And I hate to use the word message or preaching, although my children will tell you I'm quite good at that. So if you will give me some grace up front, and if you don't mind, this is way out of my comfort zone, I can talk about banking regulations and banking products all day long. But that audience is required to listen to me as we all work together. It would be required training, and I am probably their boss. So you don't have to listen to me, but at least smile and nod occasionally so I'll think that you're listening and paying attention. So we're going to talk today about Moses as a leader, as a father of faith. That's what I'm supposed to be talking to you about today. As I was preparing, I was thinking about what everyone else had spoken on. Diana specifically talked about Abraham's faith, and she kept saying, daughter, I hear you. Mariah, who our family affectionately calls Mai, she talked about Isaac and trust. Danya, who was brave enough to be the first one to go live and in person, talked about trust with, ambition with Jacob. And Stacy, who had a plan to talk about Joseph and his integrity, but God said to her, hey, I want you to do this different thing. So she listened and did that. And now me, you're going to hear about Moses. So the word leader and leadership, it's been a buzzword in many industries and schools for at least 10 years or so. We used to think of someone in a supervisor capacity as a leader, but their title was usually manager or head cashier or foreman or supervisor or department head, something like that. Someone in the capacity of a supervisor role might be considered a boss. They might have coaching or mentoring responsibilities. Now, mentoring and coaching are the nice words for pointing out problems and getting them fixed. I'm sure many of you have had mentoring responsibilities, whether they're on the job or with your family. But for me as a leader, a leader is someone who inspires and motivates others. They might not have any official title. I think of a leader as somebody like Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whose peaceful protests and marches ignited others in the civil rights movement. He was so inspiring that he received the Nobel Peace Prize and was a big part of the inspiration for the Civil Rights Act of 1964. Or I think of a community leader like Sarah Wallace, who actively looks for ways to help make Licking County a better place. If you've enjoyed the bike path, the ice rink in Newark, or know about A Call to College, Sarah had a leadership role on those programs and many others. You might think of someone as a leader, someone that's inspirational to you as a teacher or a coach, a family member. It might be a political leader like FDR or Abraham Lincoln. Today we'll be talking about Moses and his leadership qualities and how he led. We'll also be talking about how all of us are leaders. You may not think of yourself as a leader, but it might not be in your job title and your capacity at work. It might not be in your function, but all of us are leaders, whether it's in our work setting, our family setting, our community, our neighborhood, or just volunteer opportunities. So as we talk about Moses and we recall his journey, let's see how it's used throughout the Bible and the different leadership qualities. Okay, so a little background. I don't have a cool slide like Dave had, but you guys probably remember that the Israelites were foreigners into Egypt, but they had favored status because they were family to Joseph. And Joseph and Pharaoh were, you know, they were super tight. Joseph was the right-hand man. But Pharaoh got really worried because these Israelites, these people, they kept multiplying. He was concerned they would become more powerful than he was. So Moses was born a Hebrew at a time when you didn't want to be a male infant in Egypt. Pharaoh had ordered all the Hebrew male babies to be killed, but Moses was sent down the river and he was rescued by Pharaoh's daughter. He was adopted as a foreigner and welcomed. He had all the best upbringings. He was taught the finer skills of combat, something I did not learn, and maybe none of us have. He would have been educated, had more than enough to eat, and lived in a palace. But around the age of 40, Moses said, hey, I need to connect with my heritage. So he was looking for his people, so he sought them out. He saw how the people were treated as slaves, and in anger killed one of the Egyptians. Interesting note, in Exodus it clearly says he looked this way and that way, and when he saw no one, he killed the Egyptian. Do you look around before you take action? Have you seen anyone look around before they pick up that dollar in the parking lot at Walmart? Or do you look around to see if someone's watching you if you go the extra mile at work or at school to do an additional task? I don't know about you, but this isn't exactly the kind of leader I want to be. But Moses then flees because he's killed the Egyptian and he crosses the Red Sea. He marries and he tends the flock of sheep for his father-in-law. But while in the desert, he sees the burning bush where the vision of the angel of the Lord appeared to him. Moses sees the bush is on fire, but it's not consumed by the fire, so it's burning. And he can still hear the Lord, but it's not, there's still, you know, vinage on it. He was called right then and there to lead his people out of bondage. Okay, there's a lot more in those in Exodus, but that's like the mini version. But that's how God shows himself to Moses and tells him he needs to lead. Moses is now leading by that vision. Do you lead by vision? I think about the vision of Little Arrows Play Cafe. If you're a first-timer here, Little Arrows is located directly below us and is a place for people to meet and greet and grow and blossom with their young children and meet new families. This play cafe came about just because of a conversation that Tom Atha and Pastor Dave had. Without that vision, we, this church, Engage Newark, wouldn't even be here. So Moses had that vision. As the Lord is speaking to Moses throughout this encounter, Moses says, hey, I can't do this. I'm slow of tongue and speech. Now, no one's ever considered me slow of tongue, slow of speech, just to be clear. But you can understand the Lord was a little irritated because, you know, he's giving a direct command to Moses and he's a little irritated by this, and I'm paraphrasing what God says, but he's like, fine, Moses, you're slow of tongue, you're slow of speech. Isn't Aaron the Levite your brother? He's coming to meet you, and he speaks well, so he can speak for you. Moses then has to ask permission from his father-in-law to leave, and he decides to return to Egypt as commanded, as in that vision. Moses meets Aaron in the wilderness, and he asks Aaron to be that mouthpiece, be the speaker for him. Speak the word, since Aaron was the gifted speaker in the family. So now Moses has a partner in his leadership function in Aaron. In your world as a leader, do you look for a partner to lighten your load? While I was the treasurer at Licking Valley Athletic Boosters for many years, I knew my strong suit was not developing plays that were used on the football field or the basketball court. that would have not been good. It would have been ugly. I would have said on the football team, hey, everybody smile, take turns running down and back and forth of the field, don't hit anyone. But my skills were very well suited for organizing events, speaking to groups to gain support, bookkeeping, and fundraising. Do you look at your life and see where as a leader have you asked for help? What blesses others and helps foster a partnership for that common good when people share their gifts and talents? I cannot do what Carrie and this team does week in and week out, but because of that partnership, we get to have this awesome musical spiritual journey every week because they partner with us. So now we jump back to Moses, and the next portion of the story is that he and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they asked for the Hebrews to be released. They told Pharaoh, "Thus says the Lord God of Israel, let my people go." Well, you know, Pharaoh couldn't just be that nice guy and play well with others and say, go ahead. So along come the plagues. Now, we aren't talking about Pharaoh as a leader today, but think about this leadership style. He allowed 10 plagues to hit his country. Blood waters in the Nile, frogs, lice, not the type of lice that we think about now. It's like a stinging gnat. Flies, diseased livestock, boils, hailstorms, hordes of locusts, darkness over all the family, and finally the death of the firstborn in every family. I would not want to be that type of leader or be responsible for that. Aren't you glad you came to church so we could talk about lice? You can tell everyone that you did that. The Hebrew people, they're leaving now. Pharaoh finally gives in and he says, you know what? I've got to let these people go. And the Lord leads them by way of the Red Sea. This wasn't like the most direct route, but that's the way the Lord led them. That's the way they went. So Pharaoh says, okay, my heart's hardened again and I'm going to go after these people. So he sends chariots and armies after them. The people are afraid because they know they're being chased, and there's this huge Red Sea in front of them. And this is where we see the leadership quality of faith from Moses. He lifts his rod and parts the Red Sea, and the children of Israel stand on dry ground and can cross. Can you imagine the kind of faith it took Moses to just lay his rod out there and say, here you go, people. Here's a path before you. Where are you as a leader of faith? Do you look inside and only rely on your own talents and gifts? Or do we look to faith to lead our family and our community? Did it take faith for the leaders of this church to say, hey, let's try this new church thing out? We'll put it in this old ballroom in the middle of downtown Newark, where there are already a couple other churches, but we're going to go ahead and just start this new church in the middle of this old ballroom. Do you have faith that your partner will always be there for you? Do you lead knowing that you have faith in our God? Yes, there are a lot of other Moses leadership examples, but there's only so much time, and you're done listening to me by now, and you're done smiling and nodding. So yes, as we wrap this up today, I told you, Mike Hagman, it would be very short. So as we wrap this up today, think about the type of leader you want to be. Do you look around before you take actions? Do you have vision like Pastor Dave and several others who helped start Little Arrow when it was just a dream and a lot of discussion? Where is the partnership in leading a team? Do you share projects at work so others can take credit too? Do you partner with groups where your talents can be used, like our children's ministry here? Do you step out in faith, like Moses, in all the things he did according to God's plan? These are my hopes and dreams for all of us as we continue to lead in our respective communities, including Engage Newark. Thank you. Oh, gosh, George.